Mr. Whiting Railfrey.
Well, what we were talking about, I mean, the other prisoners, usually were talking about food, of course. They were dreaming about food, they were reminiscing about food. One of them, in particular, who was about my age, he was always saying, it's such a good thing that on the last day before I was arrested, I went to the cafe and ate all the cakes there and spent all my money on these cakes. And he was repeating that story very often. He thought that it was so lucky that he could eat all these cakes just before being arrested. So that was always on his mind, and I suppose everybody had the same, because really the food was very poor. I had one parcel from home. It was allowed to have something, but it was limited in quantity, very little, and didn't help very much because didn't last very long. Otherwise, what I also remember is that this German officers, which I think they must have been Sicherheitsdienst, some of them were quite young. One of them, once when I reported our cell, he was always smiling in such a peculiar way, and he said to me, "Do you love me?" And I said, "Well, I don't know you," and because I didn't know what to answer. If I said I hate you, might have been objectionable. So, and he left it at that. But it just perhaps shows you what sort of the attitude was. It was like a play with cat and mouse play. We were the mice, he was the cat. He could do what he likes. He can take out the gun and fire at you. He could ask you silly questions, embarrassing questions perhaps, to put you in an impossible position. Well, that was life in prison. Otherwise, we had no exercises, so I found that when I was eventually taken into transport to Auschwitz, I could hardly walk because of lack of exercise, and also I already lost a lot of weight then.
Which month do you think you went to Auschwitz?
It was the last day of September.
How were you taken there?
Well, names were called in the passage, and people were coming from the cells, and the group of us was then marched to a lorry and taken to the railway siding. The railway siding, which now there is a monument there. The railway siding doesn't exist anymore, but there is a monument there. And we were transported by in a railway prison van, a proper prison van, not a cattle truck, as later on, but and I think the number of us was 70, that sort of number, which was very crowded in that van. But the van was, I'm saying a proper prison van, because it was divided in two parts. One part was the area for the prisoners. There was then the passage in between, and there was a smaller compartment for the guard, which was a uniformed soldier with a machine gun directed on our door, and that was the journey. Of course, from Warsaw to Auschwitz is not such a long journey, so we have arrived there during the night, and were unloaded there. There was a siding to the camp. We were marched in, and because it was in the middle of the night, we were put in the toilet to wait for the morning treatment. So that was the first day in the camp.
Who were these 70 companions?
Well, people in the prison. They were all strangers to me. They were not from my cell.
Polish resistors?
Who knows? They were people. Some of them were arrested on purpose. Some of them were rounded up randomly in the town. Some of them were brought in from, like this man who was hearing voices. He was a peasant from some neighboring village. So there were people from neighboring villages of Warsaw, or maybe some other parts of the country. I don't know. But mostly people from the town, from Warsaw. They never discussed the reasons or the circumstances of the arrest being called anyway.
So after your night in the lavatory, what happened then?
Well, then, of course, what I remember was we were shaven on the head. We were. I think there was the showers, and we were given the prison uniforms, because in prison in Warsaw we wore our own clothes, but in Auschwitz our own clothes were taken away and we were issued with prison clothing, which was this striped uniforms. And
with a badge on the stripe?
With the badge.
A badge, or a colored badge?
Well, it was a triangle with a P on it for pole. The red triangle means a political prisoner. There were other colors, and underneath a number, the prison number, the Auschwitz number.
What was your number?
66,811.
So you'd received no trial or sentence?
Oh, no trial. No sentence was communicated to me. I believe there was so-called Sondergericht, which was just administrative procedure without anybody being witnessed it or whatever. So I, of course, being put in Auschwitz, theoretically, this was a preventative imprisonment, an imprisonment with a sentence.
Did you know when you first arrived that this was Auschwitz?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Auschwitz was already known to you, was it?
It was already known to me, yes. Yes, it was. We have, on a number of occasions, discussed what would happen if any of us would ever find himself in Auschwitz. What would be our reaction? What would be our chances, and so on. This was quite widely known.
So you knew what went on then?
Oh, yes.
So once you'd been given the uniform, what happened?
Well, then I was no longer separated from my father. I could be together. This separation was only for the purpose of interrogation, I suppose, not to communicate with each other. But once in Auschwitz, you were there without further procedure. So we were assigned to one of the blocks or houses. You know, Auschwitz is an old army barracks, pre-war cavalry barracks. So it consisted, I was in the Auschwitz number one, the proper Auschwitz, not in the Birkenau. We were assigned to one of these blocks, and that was us.
And your father was in the same block?
In the same block, yes, to start with. Yes. And so we were, of course, then also assigned to working party.
What was yours?
It was digging trenches for water supply. A big factory was being built at that time. This factory still exists. It was artificial rubber. At that time, they just started the foundation for this, so the water supply needed to be provided, and so I was digging these trenches. Of course, food then was very much better, but I had the occasion for some reason. Not sure, but I went to the prison hospital for something. I don't remember what. But on that occasion, I was able to weigh myself, and it was 6 tons and something. But then the food was much better. But nevertheless, I was not improving my weight very much because it was winter then, October and so on. All through the, I was in Auschwitz for the winter months, 5 months until March. And during that time, the trouble was the weather, of course. These prison clothes were not very substantial. And it was always wet, because being in the rain and snow and so on, it never dried overnight. So in that, I was rather in poor condition physically.
How was the work supervised?
Well, the work was organized in such a way that there were columns, and in charge of one column was so-called capo, a prisoner who was in charge of that column. He was called a capo, which is, I don't know whether you know it, it's an Italian term. He had to his as helpers foremen, forearbeiters, who were assigned to sections of this column. This work was such that you were just shown this piece of land or the trench which you have to continue, and this capo and the forearbeiters were sitting somewhere in a hut, quite separate and not really supervising anything. So all you had to do is to, from time to time there was a German guard of some sort, and then you had to pretend to be active. But otherwise, it was a sort of fighting the weather all the time. On empty stomach, more or less. So, as an example, I remember once I was in that trench, doing not very much, and I had some tingling on my back, and it didn't take much notice, but at the end of the day, when I was being assembled to march back to the camp, a mouse escaped from my back. So I was hardly aware of that field mouse being there all day, of course being very happy, being on my warm back, and me not being aware of it. Otherwise, the other scourge was fleas, which the camp, the dormitories were sacks of straw, and in it was just one solid mass of fleas. And these fleas were quite biting all your body. In the end, in the morning, when you were marching and came to these trenches, all these fleas were coming down and you can shake them out of the bottom. They were not, could not be retained on the body. They were assembling at the bottom of the trousers. From time to time, Germans were trying to deal with this
infestation
by taking all the clothing and all the sacks of mattresses and so to to put them in some containers which were then heated to kill this. And in that time you were absolutely without any clothes, naked, marched to the showers. But nevertheless, that for some reason didn't help. After a few days, it was all the same. The other, the flea situation was of no further consequence as far as any diseases were concerned. But Germans were very much sensitive to lice, because that meant typhus. And typhus was, from time to time, there were outbreaks of typhus. So what they did, of course, lice then is always in the seams of your clothing. So every Sunday there was a lice parade, so-called. So what you have to do is to take your shirt out and search for the lice, and then this shirt was then presented to special people from the hospital, who were given bonuses for finding the lice. And you were punished if you were didn't find the lice yourself, but somebody else found it in your clothing. They put the lice in a bottle, and they had so many bonuses. So that was, every Sunday was such a procedure.
Were you ever punished yourself in Auschwitz?
No. Well, I was punished by trying to get to go to the, the food was distributed after work on the blocks, soup was distributed, and there were queues. And when I had my soup, I ate it quickly and went to the queue again, and I was recognized. And so I was punished by trying to have another portion of soup.
What was the punishment?
Well, a few things. There was a stick from a chair, and a few of this on my back. I was also trying to go, because some of the blocks were inhabited by people who were working in workshops, in lorry, the transport workshops for the assessment, and they had a very good job there, because they were in contact with the assessment, and also they were under the roof, and they were skilled people, considered as skilled workers. So they had been in very much better shape, and also for some reason they had much more provided with more soup. So once I have tried to go in the queue in that other barrack, and I was recognized there as a stranger. So I was punished there by having my ball and stand like that.
Holding the bowl in front of you.
In front of you, so that you, after a while, your arms are being numb. But, I mean, that was just punished by other prisoners.
Did you come across any famous people like Mengele in the Auschwitz?
No, fortunately.
Were the Poles and the Jews separated?
No. There were not many Jews in Auschwitz, in that proper number one camp. There were some Jews, and also what I remember, after in the evening, after the soup was distributed and so on, you have sort of free time before going to bed. And I remember groups of Jews assembling for a prayer. Of course, we were not in any way supervised, so we were in these streets between the barracks. It was quite crowded, so you could engage in such activity without being noticed by anyone. Also, on the other hand, I have seen some transport of Jews who then started to arrive from other countries, like at that time from Holland and Belgium. And they were, as you probably have seen, they were, the whole families of them, they were separated children and women on one side, able men on the other side, old men together with it, and they were marched directly to crematorium, to the gas chamber. So I have seen that. That was just the beginning of this activity. But at that time, Birkenau was being only then being enlarged. And at that time, there was a camp for women, part of it, and part of it was for gypsies, which were families, the whole families together. And only part of it started to be used for Jews only. But also, I remember at one stage we were digging these trenches next to that Birkenau camp, and that part over the wire fence was the barracks, which was used for sorting out the clothing of those Jews which were already gassed. And that sorting was used, it was done by also by Jews only, which were from the same transport. You know. So that much I have seen of this beginning of this final solution.
How could you tell who were gypsies?
Oh, they, to start with, they were always